I actually had a cousin who was a colonel in the U.S. Army, and he said, he had told me one time that there's a similarity between servicemen who serve a tour and the closeness they get going through what they have to go through to serve in other parts of the world, that there's a similarity with that in the missions environment when you're going through just, you know, unique situations and challenges, and you're going through those things together with one or two or whatever other missionaries that you're with, and that kind of bonds you together in a unique relational way that is almost, you can't almost explain it, you know, it just is like a different type of connection, and that is an incredible blessing. Some of our dearest and closest of friends or people you served with and gone through hard things with them and walked with them through it, and or same thing that they've done with us, and it's definitely grown us and changed kind of how you look at the world in some ways, and appreciation for things and how we do family, and it's just been a great experience and a great journey.
That's Bryce Werdemann. Up until recently, he and his wife Amanda were the directors of the Windward Island School of Evangelism in Barbados. They are a homeschooled family of six and are missionaries who have served in Haiti, the island of St. Vincent, and Barbados over the past 14 years. Life on the islands is all their kids have ever known up until this year, as they will be moving back to the States. So grab a seat by the fire as we travel to the island of Barbados as we discuss their experience living overseas, serving as a missionary family, and educating their six children as they see fit. Yeah, so usually just how we start is we have you guys introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about you and your family, and then what it is that you do.
We are Bryce and Amanda Werdemann, and we live in St. Philip, Barbados, where we do missions work with our six kids. And we work at a Bible college called Windward Island School of Evangelism, where we teach and train Caribbean students to go back and serve in their home churches. So we've been a part of this ministry for the last 10 years between the island of St. Vincent and the island of Barbados.
And so what are the ages of your six kids?
So our oldest is 14. Our next, we have two boys, and then they're 11 and 9. And then we have two girls who are 4 and 3. And then we just recently, he's almost turning a year, just had our last little guy last April. So.
Wow. You have quite the spread there. And how long have you guys been homeschooling?
So this will be, we're in our ninth year of homeschooling.
Awesome. So yes, you're veterans compared to us. we're on our second year of homeschooling.
Oh, that's great.
But we loved it so much that we created this podcast to interview other families and get to know how everybody's doing life.
Yeah, I love that. I'm excited to go and listen to yours. I just learned about podcasts, so I'm excited.
All right. So we always like to get the backstory of how traveling or expat families got to where they are now. So can you give us a brief timeline of life, maybe about from college to present day?
So we both went to the same college, a small Christian college in Missouri. And then he went to Haiti as a missionary and was working at school there, at a school there. And we ended up being at the same camp, got together, kind of talked long distance. So weren't really able to date. And then we married and went to Colorado. And while we were there, we had our oldest, and then just felt a calling to go back to Haiti. And pretty much most of our support to be able to go to Haiti came from that church in Colorado. So it was definitely God directed that we were there. And then we went to Haiti, and it was an English speaking school. So our daughter started school at one there, and just, you know, got to learn the language. And so we didn't really know anything about homeschooling. And then we were contacted of this school in St. Vincent, Wise Bible College, was looking for somebody that had missions experience. So when Bryce accepted it, once we went to St. Vincent there, we get there and basically we were told there's no way. Our daughter was just getting ready to start kindergarten then. And so they were like, there's no way you'll get into really any kind of school. You're too late. Like, and so the schools you can get into, you know, they're not going to be, she already knew how to read. And so they were like, she's not going to learn to read till third or fourth grade. And so, you know, and they're like, and then they learn multiplication at fifth or sixth grade, you know, in addition. Yeah. And so they're just like, oh, wow, we're already kind of starting some of that. And so that's when homeschooling kind of came up for us. It was just, you know, basically they told us, if you send her to school, you're going to come home and you're going to be teaching her several hours after that. So we were like, oh, this makes way more sense to just homeschool her. And so from there we started, and it's just, obviously we have stronger convictions of why we do it now, but kind of just fell into it then.
Right. Yeah. And so Bryce, you took the job as director, right? Of WISE.
Yes. Yes.
And then Amanda, if I read correctly, was it your grandparents that used to run it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you've done homework. Yeah.
I have. From what I could, there wasn't a whole lot out there.
Honestly, it's funny because I didn't want to go to it because my family had been there originally. So really the family part didn't play a part in it. And then we just kept praying about it and just.
You were called to it.
Yeah, we had a real heart for this part of the world. And so when that opportunity came up, it was like, well, this makes sense. And so we were able to continue to do where our, you know, what our passions were, just in another location. So it worked out really well.
That's great. So you moved over, it was first St. Vincent's, right?
Yes.
And then you only had your oldest at that time. And then eventually you guys had the other five as time went on.
Right. So then we had our two boys right as we moved there. Our daughter and our son were in Haiti. Middle boy, our third was born. We have too many. Our third was born right before we moved there. So we, those three kind of, that was, you know, where they grew up and have a lot of memories. And then, we also got to keep our nephew while we were there. My sister adopted through the orphanage that was below us. And so we got to keep him until the adoption finalized. And
oh, wow.
So I feel like we kind of had, I mean, another little one while we were there.
That's so neat. And what a blessing for your sister that you guys were able to do that while she waited for it to go through.
I'm so glad. We feel a super special bond with him. He's just such a neat little guy.
I can only imagine. Yes. So what does life look like for your family in Barbados and with the community? Because I know obviously community is very big with your family with what you guys are doing over there.
We are involved. Our kids are involved in some sports and a homeschool group here. And we do like a kids club ministry in the community and with our church and stuff. In the community, it's probably sometimes a little challenging. So in those groups, it works really well. But I feel like as a whole, a lot of people here don't really know about homeschooling. We get a lot of, especially it's kind of hard because, you know, you're here to minister to people. And so, but you're also, you know, training your kids and equipping them. And so, you know, we get a lot of, why don't you have your kids in the schools? You know, and so it's just a lot of, we get a lot of, when are, you know, I come from a teaching background, so I'm pretty strict on our schooling hours and stuff. And so we get a lot of people that will still say, even though we're schooling each day, they'll say, you know, when are you going to move back to the States and put your kids in school? And they just can't understand homeschooling. And is our kids, and they'll be like, wow, I can't believe that your third grader knows their ABCs, or, you know, and it's like, well, yes, they know how to read, they know how to, but, so it's kind of, new to some of the locals and stuff around here.
Have you guys enjoyed living in Barbados?
It's good weather.
I was going to say, I don't know much about it. That's why I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, the people are really friendly, and the food is good, and it's just life slows down here, you know, and so there's just not the, it's what, the sun goes down every day all year at 6 o'clock, and so there's just never anything after 6 o'clock, so you have so much family time, and like any activities, anything are going to be before the sun goes down, so you just get a lot of time just in the evenings, you know, and everything's so laid back. Obviously, you know, they always say you're on Caribbean time. And so it's just, it really is, even if you try to be like, it's just, it's nice, a slower pace of life. Love that.
Well, while we're on the homeschooling topic, because you brought that up some, we heard why you guys decided to homeschool, which I assume then, was that something new in your family? Like, if you think about your relatives and friends, nobody else you really knew homeschooled?
No, we grew up in the public school system. And I mean, you know, we have an uncle on the school board and just different things. So that was just all really new. Like, now though, it's interesting because a lot of our siblings do, and I don't know if it's growing more popular in the States. It sure seems like it.
Yes, it is. Wow. Same thing. We started homeschooling, and then now my older sister homeschools. My younger sister, her oldest is still only 4, but she plans to homeschool when he goes into kindergarten. And then I have one of my cousins who's homeschooling. So it's like, we started the trend, but we were like the only ones in our, amongst our circle of family and friends that decided to homeschool.
Wow. That's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And I think everything, of course, with COVID, that's kind of also sped up the process of homeschooling being more widely accepted now. And people are realizing with their kids home that they're actually liking it. It's still not their cup of tea and they're ready to put them back in school, but we definitely have heard a lot of families that are like, we actually like this, and I don't think that we'll be sending them back. So.
For us, I've always loved it. I do have friends that homeschool and they're like, I don't like it, but I do it because I feel like it's so needed. And
of course, home education looks very different from family to family. And so I'd love to hear what learning looks like in your family. And I know you kind of already gave us a clue that you seem to be more structured with your days. So if you could just kind of paint us a picture of what it looks like for you.
Okay. So, I say like Bryce goes to work, but when he's not at work, or, you know, when he's back, he does the science with our kid, our older ones. I am not good at that. So he's kind of science dad. And then, the kids get up and we have chickens here, and, they do the chores and feed the dogs and stuff. And then, while the boys are doing those chores and after breakfast, then the girls and I, we'll go over like some preschool things, and do some stuff with them. And our little guy is usually waking up about them. And he also happens to have Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of always, before it was like, oh, this baby stage is so easy. They're just kind of playing while we do school. And so that kind of changed things a little bit for us, because he has to do different therapies during the day, work on some things. So, our kids all actually kind of like to jump in and help with those. And so, you know, he's kind of playing or sitting working on some of those while we're doing that. Then the kids all do teaching textbooks for math. And so mm-hmm. that's online and graded. And so that's just been huge for us. I know some people have said they're a little behind, but we're, you know, have, you know, done a grade above and stuff. So that's worked really well, freed up some time for us to get the little girls done. And then they also do the Good and Beautiful for their language, and they're all pretty independent now on that. And our daughter is in eighth grade, so she, most of her stuff is really independent now. I mean, I check over stuff, but she's kind of on her own on different things. And then when our little guy goes down for a nap and our girls are done, the boys work on some of their other stuff with me, just writing things and just different that they need a little bit more checking on history. And then and then typically by 12:30 we're done with most things, and then they so it's full morning, but it's, I mean, we're going by 7:30 and yeah. So
now, are you as a family involved in the mission? So once that school's done, you guys then roll into other things within the community and with the college, or what does that look like?
Yeah, so one of the neat aspects that we've really enjoyed is that our kids, like in the afternoons, they're able to get to do things with a lot of the students. And so they're involved in a lot of activities with them. And
we,
involved.
We live on the campus.
We live on the
campus.
So
we're right by the dorms. And
so that's always been a special thing for our kids, and that we've really enjoyed. And they're involved in church activities. And as Amanda mentioned, you know, with they're involved in tennis and volleyball and different sporting activities on the island as well. And so they get to do those things. But they participate in a lot of the things that programs that we're doing with the school and with the students. And so they're participating in service as well. And so we enjoy that.
Yeah, I actually found some photos. I think it was on one of your Facebook pages, and just your kids with some of the students at the college. And I was like, man, that's such a cool experience for them, just to be that close within the community and forming those relationships.
Yeah, they've definitely been, I think it was, I don't know, Dave Stone, if you guys know him, he's a pastor at a large church in Kentucky. And he wrote a book on parenting and kids. And he said, you know, find good mentors for your kids. And for us, it's been a huge blessing, because these are college students here just studying and serving, and, you know, and our kids just have them as mentors and, you know, kind of honorary aunts and uncles, and they just learn so much from them. So that's been huge blessing.
Yeah.
Some of your kids don't know anything else though, right? They've been there pretty much their whole lives.
Yes.
Which is pretty neat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you travel back to the States at all?
We do. We come back for usually about 2 months in the summer, and we fundraise and visit and speak at churches and share about what, you know, what's happening with the work here. And so that's been kind of nice too for our family, just to do that. But then it's also, we think it's also been healthy for the kids as well, to be able to be a part of their parents' home culture, you know, as well, and get to do things in the States and play Little League baseball and do different things that, going to church camp and getting some of those experiences has been really healthy.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do they have like children's sports on Barbados like you would have here?
They do. Not as diverse, you know, not as many.
Instead of baseball, they have cricket.
Like they have cricket.
Nice.
And so, you know, our kids play it, but competitively, like they play tennis and volleyball. Those are the two main sports.
Soccer.
And soccer. They play soccer and cricket are the two biggest sports for football. Football, cricket are the two biggest sports by far on the island. So it's not like you have basketball and wrestling and, you know, I mean, just kind of take your pick. So you, track and field is pretty, you know, is a pretty big deal as well. And kind of those summer sports.
Those are pretty standard throughout the Caribbean, I think, from all those islands. Yeah. I've traveled through there, but a bit. But yeah, we actually spoke with an author that, do you know the Green Number series?
Yes.
Yeah. S.D. Smith.
S.D. Smith. Yeah, we interviewed him.
Oh, okay.
He was super cool. He was a great guy. But he lived overseas, and his dad was a missionary. And so he grew up playing cricket. So we talked a little bit about that, or like sort of playing cricket, he said, not very good at it. But when we lived in South Carolina, we came across the Indian community there. Mm-hmm. And I told him I thought I'd be pretty decent at cricket because I was pretty decent at baseball, and I was so wrong. That's a completely different game.
Way different, yes.
Yeah, so it was fun trying, but it's neat that they get to experience. You typically in the States, you would not experience playing cricket ever.
True.
So that's neat for them.
Mm-hmm. Our kids have never seen snow though, so they're always super jealous. So I'm like, you guys get to live in like year round with, you know, nice weather all year, and it's but.
See, the grass always looks greener, right? You guys missed the snow. Anyone up in Ohio could probably dreaming about living in Barbados. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Island life right now sounds really great. And on slow time too, it sounds amazing. My parents are Puerto Rican, so I've been to Puerto Rico, like grew up going there, but I've never gone more south than that to those other islands.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's neat.
But I do get that slow island time. Definitely a different type of lifestyle over there. And everybody's always late to everything. I don't know if that's the same over there, but.
Yeah.
We always tell people, like, if, you know, we're going somewhere, they'll be like, doesn't it start? And we're like, if you're like there 20 minutes, yeah, if you're 20 minutes late or before, then you're too early. Like,
it's exactly how it is.
So if we have an event, you know, if it's supposed to start at 5, we'll tell people, you know, hey, it starts at like 4:15, 4:30. And then it still starts at like 6, you know?
Can't win. Can't win. One thing I found interesting, and I don't know if it's still running again on this blog, but I found for our listeners, I found Amanda, no, Nathan, actually, you found Amanda's blog post on the very old blog page. I don't even know how old it was. And it was, I don't even remember the name of it. I'll have to put it in the show notes, but.
Well, she probably knows.
Do you remember?
Was it the at Blogspot one, that one?
In All You Do, that's what it was called.
Okay, yes. I think that you still have that or?
Yeah. So I think, yes, you're right. I think her blog page is still running. But then I didn't know how old the post was until I started to see how young your boys were. Wow. And now I'm putting the math together here. So I read that you said when you got there, you started homeschooling and your daughter was a little older, but that your boys were, I guess, in preschool. And so you helped start a preschool over there.
So we did start a preschool. I honestly, we came from a mission. We patterned a lot after in Haiti. And so they had started a school. So that was kind of the, you know, we are like, hey, you know, this would be needed. There's, you know, kids that.
Our kids' ages were.
You know, our kids were that age. So we're like, hey, this just makes sense. You know, so we started the preschool. And then government regulations were a little stricter there than in Haiti. So we, you know, couldn't start like the elementary school like we wanted to. And so it worked really well. We did the preschool and then we had some other teachers that came on and taught. And so, you know, I'd be over there for, you know, half the morning of the preschool and then come work with my daughter who was already, you know, first grade, second grade. And so it was kind of nice because, you know, then our, you know, boys had that and a lot of other kids got to come and we met a lot of kids in the community that way. And
so I thought that was really neat. So do you know, is it still running?
So we, when we left, we sold all the stuff, or not sold, gave all of the stuff to one of our aides. And she is still looking for a building and has all this stuff, but still hoping to like work with kids and use all that. And
I bet that was a perfect setup though with your boys that age. And then I saw that you had said, you know, worked out even with your daughter, she would help out within the classroom, which is a great experience for her, and then would work on her school on the side. It's just so neat because the flexibility of homeschooling, it's amazing that you could do something like that still and then technically be homeschooling your daughter who's a little older. So
yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful how versatile it is.
Now, you did say that you are part of a homeschooling group.
So yes, so in St. Vincent, there was not a homeschooling group. Here, Barbados is a little more, I think it's still considered third world, but right?
Considered that,
but it's a lot more, you know, they get a lot more tourists. And now we are not on the tourist side. We're in like farming country complete. Like when people say, oh, I've been on a cruise there. And I'm like, I guarantee you haven't been where we were. Like we're in the middle of the field. And we're probably like an hour from like nice beaches you can swim at still, even though it's a small island. And so anyways, there's a pretty big network. There's like, I would say maybe 50 families or more. Not all are active. I mean, and it's got a variety of like, there's some Muslims that are in it. There are some, there's a core group of us that get together. You know, one of our friends in it taught, it just kind of ranges in variety. She taught science, you know, and our kids were in that. And then, so they had a, you know, science, experiments here, and then the kids would go out and play. And, another mom did a preschool this year, you know, did a preschool group and taught nature studies to all the you know, kids and stuff. So, and it's kind of a neat group because, for the most part, I thought it would be a lot of expats, but few are from the United States. There's a few British and a few Canadian, but for the most part, it's a lot of locals. Yeah. So you get, and they're all new to it, you know, just realizing, oh, we can do this. And so it's a little more rigorous. Like they want you to, you have to go before the, department, what is Ministry of Education here, and submit a letter to do it. And I don't know anyone that's been turned down, but and they like you to have a degree. I think it can be a degree in anything, but so I mean, and you have to give them all you know, every book you use and you know what you're gonna. So I mean, at the time it seemed like, but the other moms helped so much, and so that was easy to figure out. Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's why I asked, because I didn't know how big the homeschooling community was on the island, but that's a good size co-op.
Yeah, it really is. Now, not all those are active. I would say there's maybe 10 or 12 families that are, you know,
I actively go back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and get together. And we meet once a month at a park and get together. And so, yeah. So it's not too much, you know, but it, I guess.
Now, how long does it take you to drive from one end of this island to the other? Like, how big is this?
If I'm driving or if Amanda's driving,
you.
I can make it there really quick. Really? You know, if there's not bad traffic, because we're on the East Coast, I can make it over to the West Coast in probably about 40 minutes or so. But okay. In normal traffic, it's going to take me over an hour.
Wow.
But it's not that far.
Not big.
No, it's like 15 miles or so, you know, total. But And you just wind around everywhere. Nothing straight.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine living on an island that small. Not that I'd be against it, but it's like I've never lived in a place like that where you're literally there within 45 minutes.
And it's funny because you know we have friends here and that will, there's 11 parishes on the island, and so it makes it even smaller. And people go, man, I have never been to that parish, and it's like you can drive all of them in like half a day, you know. And and so yeah, the perspective is, you know, because coming from the States, it's like, man, you may drive like 600 miles in a day, you know, and you know, that's okay. And you're in the car for a long time here, it's like 45 minutes, and man, that's too much.
Yeah, we're in the military, and we've considered going to Guam. We've looked into it. And yeah, my one thing that always holds me back is I've looked up how long it takes you to drive from one end to the other, and it's not very long. And I'm like, wouldn't you get bored really quick? Like, there's just nothing left to do, like not even hiking or exploring. You'd see the whole thing in like a day. So good to know.
All right. So are you guys familiar with the term third culture kids? Mm-hmm. And for our listeners who may not be familiar, it's the term refers to, quote, people who were raised in a culture other than their parents or the culture of their country of nationality, I'm sorry, and also live in a different environment during a significant part of their child development years. So basically, you know, your children, you guys are from the States, but they're being raised in a different culture. And for your older kids, it's been most of their child development years. And then the description goes on to say that these kids are typically exposed to a greater volume and variety of cultural influences, of course. And obviously there's this beauty to living abroad and experiencing different cultures. So what do you think your children are getting out of this experience?
One of the things that, and because Amanda and I have talked about that frequently, you see that whenever, even when we visit churches or even with sometimes their cousins or aunts, uncles, grandparents, or whatever, terms or things that would be common in American culture, they're going, huh? You know, they have no idea. You know, our oldest, this is pretty funny, just this past summer was asking about dishwashers. And I said, hey, you know, go ahead and, we're at one of their grandparents, and said, you know, go ahead and load the dishwasher. And she said, what's that? And so pointed and was like, how do you load the dishwasher? And that, you know, is just like a normal thing from my childhood growing up. And so like showing that, and by the end of the summer, she said, I've seen dishwashers in every house and every place we've been. And I and said, is that normal for American families that have dishwashers? And said, yes. And she went, whoa, dryers or dryers normal? And said, yes. And she goes, oh my goodness. So it can even be silly things like that, or terms or phrases or things that even our kids say, like a phrase that is said here all the time is like an expression of, you know, surprise or, you know, disbelief. They say cheese on bread is something that's said all the time here. So, you know, something happens and people go, ah, cheese on bread. And our kids say that all the time. Well, when they're back in the States, you know, people look at them and go, what on bread? What are you talking about? You know, and so sometimes it makes them feel a little uncomfortable or out of place. And, you know, and you just have those conversations with them. But one of the things that we've always been very blessed by is that thankfully when we're back every year for a couple months, like they're able to get a taste and kind of not be so disconnected from American culture. There is some that's, you know, it's just, they've grown up here, but or overseas, but yeah, you definitely can see it and sense it and hear it in the questions, especially as they get older. It's a reality.
I also feel like being raised in a different culture altogether is just a wonderful experience for anybody. It just opens up your mind to all the other people that live out there in this world and not just what you're surrounded by in your own little network.
Yeah. We just realized, I hadn't really realized that. And then our students come from different countries around the Caribbean. So some of them speak different languages, and English isn't their first language. And so just recently we had a visitor and they were kind of, you know, making fun of how, you know, some of our students talked, and our kids were just like, that's all they've ever known, is that some of our students didn't say words right, but it's all they've known. So to them, that was like, okay, they're learning, you know? And so it was a good teaching time to say, hey, you know, this person doesn't realize that that's their second language and they're learning. And so just, you know, let them know, hey, you know, they're learning this, and just, you know, be patient with them. And so, yeah.
I'm sorry if I missed this earlier. Did your kids, when you guys were in Haiti, did any of your kids grow up there?
She said two.
Yes. Our daughter, our oldest, we moved there when she was 4 and a half. From there. Yeah. When we moved from there, she was 4 and a half. And then our son, our next, he was two. Yeah. He was two. And Amanda was pregnant with our third.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I would say seeing that culture there is a great experience for somebody to know that what you have in the States is there's not a whole lot to complain about most of the time when you see something like that. You know, I've been down there several times, and most of those people struggle and just to survive. And for your kids to be able to see that firsthand is a good thing, I believe, to know that whatever you have is a blessing, and you're blessed to have what you have, and that there's people out there that need help, you know. And yeah, I think that's a great thing. As Barbados at that level of Haiti?
Oh, no.
I don't think so.
Yeah, Haiti is kind of in a whole nother category.
Sure.
I mean, we were used to, if you cut up meat in Haiti and like the fat or the bones, and you were gonna throw them away, there would be so many people that would want those to have for food, you know, or anything we had as any clothes, you know, that we'd outgrown, they definitely wanted it. But then, you know, on the flip side here, even here, you know, that it's still not so, how do you say, you know, it's still not where America is, but yet nobody's going to want our chicken bone. You know, we'd be insulted if we, so yeah, it was definitely, there was no waste.
Do you guys, the two of you, do you feel like you have changed from this experience? If so, and yes, which I imagine so, how so?
Took off right when the question was asked.
I know, I saw that.
We understand if it's the kids. That's why Nathan had to step out.
Yeah, I actually had to leave earlier because the kids were knocking on the door, which they know not to do, and we're doing this. I went up and they told me the neighbor was having a heart attack. And I looked out and he was raking the leaves. So I don't know what they were seeing. And then as I was looking at the neighbor, our three-year-old comes down the hall with no diaper on and poop on his bum. So I don't know.
Oh my God.
Sorry, parenting. Guys.
Yeah, that's great. Average day.
Yeah, average day. Just another day in the life. Yeah.
Poor Amanda missed all that. We were explaining why Nathan had to get up earlier. It's the same thing with kids. Just craziness. Mayhem happening. So yes, back to the question, how have you guys changed as people from this experience?
From homeschooling, you mean?
No, I'd say from being expats, from your missionary work, all of that.
Definitely, we've just become more flexible. There's a lot of waiting here, you know, the island time. And I mean, you know, it was the prime of our life, I feel like, you know, has been here. So, I mean, we went through miscarriages here and saying goodbye to people, you know, teammates and friends. And our families, you know, we have great families back home, but we also like the people here, that's who we're with all the time. So they're our family too, you know, they're just like aunts and uncles, and that's pretty neat, like to have that here. And
yeah, I actually had a cousin who was a colonel in the U.S. Army, and he said, he had told me one time that there's a similarity between servicemen who serve a tour and the closeness they get going through what they have to go through to serve in other parts of the world, that there's a similarity with that in the missions environment when you're going through just, you know, unique situations and challenges, and you're going through those things together with one or two or whatever other missionaries that you're with, and that kind of bonds you together in a unique relational way that is almost, you can't almost explain it, you know, it just is like a different type of connection, and that is an incredible blessing. Some of our dearest and closest of friends are people you've served with and gone through hard things with them and walked with them through it, and or same thing that they've done with us, and it's definitely grown us and changed kind of how you look at the world in some ways, and appreciation for things, and how we do family, and it's just been a great experience and a great journey.
Now I'm sure it also has, like you said, you did speak on challenges. So are there, I mean, you don't have to go into details or anything, but what are some things that maybe you have found in general that are difficult to living abroad and raising your kids abroad?
Again, we've never really raised we grew up there, but we've never really raised, a lot of people always tell us, man, when you move back to the States, like you're going to be so surprised. It's so different now, you know? So, I mean, we haven't really raised them there. Honestly, when we're back for the 6 weeks or so in the summer, it's kind of like, what do we always say? It's like going to an amusement park, yeah. You know? Our kids don't really know what it's like, because you'll have family say, hey, let's take you to do this. You never get to do this. Let's go to this, you know? Mm-hmm. So they're just doing fun stuff the whole time, not real life, and not, you know, they're on mm-hmm. school break.
I don't know if it would be a challenge, but it sometimes can be hard, is like you're not around for, you know, events with family, whether it be a Christmas or you know, Easter, birthdays, or, you know, whatever it may be, or you hear of you know, kids' friends or family or people you know, and they're participating in this or getting to go to that, and you know, things that you go, man, that would be really neat, the kids mm-hmm. would really enjoy that, and you go, oh, you feel like you're missing out, even though there are things that we get to do that other families, you know. And so you try to guard your heart from some of that, and but sometimes you almost naturally, you know, kind of get into that, and you try to jump out of it as quick as you can. But Nathan, you mentioned, like, you know, the grass is always greener, you know, sometimes, you know, we try to take stock of the blessings and the things that we get to participate in, and that are unique and wonderful, and that maybe not everybody else would enjoy, but for us and our kids is like, it's just life, and it's a blessing, and we're thankful for, and it's been good.
Well, that's great.
It's probably hard to answer because it's at this point, it's your normal life for a very long time. It's not like you've been only doing this for a year and you're noticing all the hard things. It's just how you live. Yeah. So it's probably, you probably to answer this question better when you move to the States and like, what's yeah, difficult, good. What's difficult about living in the States now?
What do we do with?
Yes. Which brings me to the next question, which is how are you guys feeling and how are your kids feeling? Cause I don't think we've mentioned this yet in the interview, but you guys are supposed to be relocating back to the States in May, correct? Mm-hmm. After 14 years, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I hope you're moving to a very small town so you feel comfortable.
We are. Honestly, we had a whole year. We, you know, made the decision like to leave, and we've had a whole year to kind of say goodbye here and do that well, you know, even though COVID hit and is kind of close and things. But and our kids, so they've had time to prepare for that. And I think because we've always done things, you know, everything we've done as a family. So it's kind of, you know, they're going to miss things here, but I think they seem okay. And it's actually kind of neat. There's a family that's taking our place that will be the new director at the school here. And they're a military family and have 7 children and they homeschool. So
really?
Yeah, I'm wondering, just I guess it'll be, I'm curious to see once you guys do get back to the States. I just always feel, and not that everybody does this, but it's just easier to slip into the rat race. And I think that that's one nice thing. I feel like living in Barbados might have been great, is that it seems to be more of that relaxed lifestyle, and I'm sure you put a lot of focus on that home life. Like you said, people shut down at 6 p.m. and it kind of like forces you to be at home and take it easy at night. It's the reason why I like winters. I always tell him I love winter time because it forces us to shut things down early because it gets dark early. Where in summer, we just go, burning daylight like until 9-10 o'clock at night because it stays so bright here for that long. So I'm just that's why I'll be curious to see. I think that's probably been one great thing, and so easy over here to get sucked back into that hecticness that even we try to keep a balance.
Yeah. We used to live in, I'm sorry, go ahead.
We need you guys to do a podcast on that so we're prepared to put up boundaries and
well, when we first got married, we lived in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico, like in the national forest. And we were there. And when we decided to leave and come back, it was definitely a culture shock to like, we went back to Florida and it was so different because there was nothing there. There wasn't even a town. The closest town was like 45 minutes or so. And so like there was no going out at night. We didn't go out and do like to town and go out to eat really or anything like that. And when we moved back to Florida, it was definitely a shock because there's just so much going on and so many things happening and people were just into different things than we were. Like shopping's like a hobby, you know, and spending money is a hobby and like that, those kinds of things. And that's just not, that wasn't us. It's not us. And But the problem is you live in it now and it's just, you have to, you know, actively stay away from it kind of and find your own hobbies. But once you enjoy a life like you guys live now and like we lived, it's just how we've stayed forever. No matter where we lived, it didn't matter.
That's good. That's encouraging.
Oh, good. All right, so this is the final question that we ask everybody, and you can answer together or separately, but if you knew you could only leave one last piece of wisdom for your children, what would it be?
It would be to love God and serve Him forever. I mean, that would be what we would want to leave with our kids, be faithful to Him. And That's our biggest prayer, that that we pray for our kids, is that they'll continue a legacy of faith that has been poured into them. And so that would be what we want to depart to them.
Well, I think you're setting a great example. So, where can our listeners find you?
Well, we have an Instagram account at, it's extra few words, WURDS. And then we have a Facebook too. So Bryce and Amanda Werdeman.
And one more time, what's the name of the school that you teach at, that you run?
Wise Bible College, or it's an acronym, Windward Islands School of Evangelism.
All right. Great. We'll put it all in the links.
Yes, we will. Well, thank you so much, guys, for joining us today. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you. So good to meet you guys.
Yes, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. Bye. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
First, we want to thank Bryce and Amanda for joining us all the way from sunny Barbados. It was a pleasure speaking with them and learning a little bit more about their life. We also want to thank all of you for joining us around the fire for another great conversation with some amazing people. If you have any comments or questions, please send us an email or message us on our Instagram account. And as always, let's light a fire they can't put out.